Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game live today at Titans training camp, Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, as they are on the practice field for the first time this season. Houston Texans opened their camp last week. We say hello now to John McClain, who joins us from Houston every week at 9:30 here on Wednesdays. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, it's finally here. It's like the first day of school. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. We're out here watching the Titans have their first practice. And look, I know you're not going to take too much away from the first practice, but I think the thing that we're all watching is how this team adapts to Brian Callahan's way of doing things, his new offense, how Will Levis will work in that new offense. So, you know, what's it kind of been like the first few days of Texans camp as they get ready to go into year two now under D'Amico Ryans and what he's done there?
They're on their sixth practice because they play the Bears in the Hall of Fame game, so they get that extra game, which they're glad about because they have a lot of new players, especially on defense, and they can have as many as five new starters because they know, considering the first-place schedule and the quarterbacks they'll play, the defense has to be better. And so last year, there's nothing more exciting than when you have a new head coach who is an offensive coach and you have a quarterback drafted high in the first round. And that's the way it was last year. At this time, we had no clue what the Texans were capable of, no clue about Stroud. And so people always ask me, how do the Texans look? And I say, in 48 training camps I've been going to, I've never been able to tell anything until they start playing. People that look good, there's August All-Stars, as Randy Cross, the CBS broadcaster and 49ers guard used to call them, guys you get excited about in August, and then they disappear when the season starts. But in the Titans' case, and not just Brian Callahan, but Bill Callahan. And I know everybody's given Bill a lot of attention because he deserves it, but I think a lot of fans may underestimate how good he is and the impact he can have on the team, not just the offensive line or the offense, but the team. You know, he's been a head coach. You know his son is going to talk to him about advice. You know his son is going to be open to advice. So he can have a humongous impact on the team overall. And then with all the emphasis on Will Levis going into his second year, how hard he worked in the offseason, how he'll adapt to new offensive coaches and Callahan. Has Callahan said, is he going to call plays?
He is. He is going to call the plays.
All right, he's going to call plays for the first time, so that's going to be interesting to watch him do that. And you know he's been eager to do it. He's learned from others, including his dad, and he watched Zach Taylor do it. So Callahan as the play caller, Callahan as the coach, and you know, you feel bad for the defense, but the fact is training camp is about the offense because nobody goes full contact anymore. They're too worried about getting hurt in the salary cap, but it's the offense that sells the tickets, and I know people are really excited, as they should be, about the Titans in 2024.
Yeah, for sure. And John, I'm curious of this. When you were talking about getting advice from his dad, but he's an offensive-minded coach. He's going to call the plays. If you're him, first practice, you know you got to have your hands all over the offense, but how important is it to find that balance of knowing what's going on with the defense? You got your defensive coordinator that's going to essentially be your head coach of that side of the ball, but you know, Vrabel was I thought very good about knowing what was going on throughout the entire football team. He's had years of just knowing what was going on with the offense, being the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati. So how much of a transition is it for the head coach to kind of have to be, to learn that, to learn every aspect of his team and not just one side of the ball?
I'll give you an example. D'Amico Ryans played linebacker, he's defensive coordinator. He came in, he brought Bobby Slowick with him from San Francisco to be the offensive caller, offensive coordinator and a play caller for the first time. And he would go on both sides of the ball in practice and camp, and he also would want to talk to Bobby about the game plan, but he's a play caller on defense. So he had to focus on defense, even though he wanted to know what the plan was on offense, and Brian Callahan's going to be that too. Defense isn't his specialty. Offense is. He'll want to know what's going on, but he's going to have his hands full as first-time play caller. When Gary Kubiak was hired by the Texans in 2006 from the Broncos, I went to Denver to do stories on Gary, and Gary was a former quarterback, quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, and Mike Shanahan had been through the same thing as an offensive coordinator becoming head coach. He said, when you're an offensive coach and you're a head coach for the first time, you want to do everything. And he said, it's hard enough when you call plays and you got to keep up with game management and the clock. You got to have good people up in the box helping you. And he said, and at some point, you learn how to dial it back and focus just on what you're doing. And eventually you delegate more. And it's hard for a first-year coach to delegate. I did a column on D'Amico Ryans last week for HoustonTexans.com in which we talked about the transition into his second year compared to the first. He said, it's night and day. He said, the things I know now that I didn't know I'd been told and I thought I did going into my first year, when everything, you have new responsibilities of being in charge of everything, and you want to have your hands in everything. And right now I feel so much better because he knows what his coaches can do. He knows better what his players can do, and he finds that he's delegating more, even though he's still going to call the defensive signals. So that's something Brian Callahan will have to figure out on his own. He knows it. Yeah, he's been told it by a lot of coaches. You watch, you learn, you talk to Zach Taylor about it. But until you sit in that seat and you are in charge of the plane and you're flying it, you still don't know for sure. So he's going to go through a learning process, just like Will Levis is as a quarterback. And I can't overemphasize how valuable it is to have his dad there. And they should thank Kevin Stefanski and the Browns for letting him out of his contract, because they let a damn good coach go.
No doubt about that. John McClain joins us from Houston.
John, always good to talk to you. You talked to a lot of the writers around the league, and when you talk to them about the Titans, what's the 1,000-foot view that they give of this franchise, of this football team right now?
They don't know, because you got a new head coach, right? You have a GM going into his second year, has full authority, not sure about the quarterback. Next year will be a better time to ask that question. You know, most people say, well, they're last place team. Can they hit all the right things and go from worst to first like the Texans? This time last year, Texans were coming off third consecutive 3-win season. Nobody predicted them anything but last place. And then they made that tremendous jump. Now people are getting their hopes and expectations so high. The Houston Chronicle had a story yesterday, first they had fan day, and boy, they're all predicting the Super Bowl. And the team's not doing that. The coaches go out of their way not to do it, but it's hard for the fans not to be fired up. But around the league, it's a wait-and-see approach with the Titans. New head coach, new quarterback going into his second year. And it's interesting for Levis has got to show he can be the guy, because new head coaches usually they want their quarterback. So he's got to convince Brian Callahan that I'm the guy, and he's being given every opportunity. And Rand Caulkhorn took advantage of having money under the cap to put weapons around him, and they've improved the offensive line so much the last 2 years. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And that being said, you know, what was it about C.J. Stroud? You know, we're talking about Will Levis here, John, that C.J. Stroud, that you knew, was there a certain moment last year, like, this guy's got something? I mean, was it in camp? Was it halfway through the season? When did you know that Stroud was different?
No, we didn't know anything in camp. D'Amico Ryans wouldn't even name him the starter till the week before the season started. And one of the things that, when you have a veteran quarterback who started for 2 years like they had with Davis Mills, we all knew Stroud was going to start. We knew he was going to start day one. But they rotated first-team snaps because a really smart head coach knows that teammates have to understand why a quarterback is playing, why he's playing ahead of a veteran. they need to see it too, see it in practice. So when you make the move, they all think that's a good move. That's why in Chicago, they anointed Caleb Williams so fast, and everybody thinks the Bears could be in first place. I don't. And they're putting just enormous pressure on rookie quarterbacks. And there's not many that have seasons like C.J. Stroud has had. Russell Wilson did, Dak Prescott did, Andrew Luck. But if you look at all the quarterbacks who have been drafted, there's a transition period. And Caleb Williams, boy, he's got the pressure on him. And I didn't know that Stroud could possibly not even have the season he did, but it was they lost their first two games, started 0-2. They trailed the Colts, and he threw for 190 yards in the fourth quarter. And they still lost, but he was airing it out. Of course, they were playing a lot of zone. But I thought then maybe, and then they go to Jacksonville and win by 20, and that's the first time I thought he could be special as a rookie. You know, you thought all along, second overall pick, they think he's going to be special, but I had no clue what he was going to do as a rookie and I still didn't have a clue, but I just thought then, to answer your question, Joe, kid's got a chance to be special sooner rather than later.
Good. He is John McClain from Houston joining us. We'll have more with him coming up next. Chasing Big Joe live today at Titans training camp at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
Any thought on DeAndre Hopkins and extending him? Like, have you talked to Kelton and those guys about that at all?
We've identified a number of guys that, you know, we'd like to continue to move forward with, you know, and eventually take care. But you guys have heard me, you know, we're going to keep family business in, you know, in terms of talking about their contracts and what's next for them. But we as a staff, we have identified some guys that, you know, we'd like to have here, you know, long term.
Is DeAndre one of them?
He's one of the guys that's on our team. And and we've talked about a number of guys on the team to have those conversations. You know, one thing I appreciate about D-Hop is if you guys have gotten to know him, D-Hop is straightforward. And, you know, and D-Hop and I, we can have some straightforward conversations, and we have and we do. And so D-Hop knows how we feel about him, you know, and I think that's a big thing, especially for a veteran, you know, at this stage in his career. And I think the way he's shown up here, the way he's bought into a new staff kind of shows how he feels about us and what we have.
Titans general manager Rand Carthon yesterday. Chasing Big Joe live today. Titans training camp, continuing our conversation with John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. You know DeAndre Hopkins very, very well, and that is a question that we've kind of been asking this summer. Should the Titans go ahead and try and lock him up for at least another year? It worked last year. We think it's going to continue to work this year. He's obviously an important piece to a young quarterback. What do you think could be a fair agreement to keep DeAndre Hopkins with the Tennessee Titans and let him continue to grow along with Will Levis?
No, I have no idea about how much money it would be. You know, the day the young guys want $30 million, like Justin Jefferson wants, the Texans got Nico Collins done early and they got him for $23 million a year. Now he's only had one great year, but he's still young and got a long time to play. Where D-Hop's in the twilight of his career, and he knows it. One of the things about Hopkins is I've talked about this before on a lot of my weekly shows, is DeAndre Hopkins' game has never been about speed, so you don't really slow down. You know, if he's not a burner running down, running post routes, getting behind the secondary, that's not what he's all about. He's about toughness, fighting for the ball, great hands, works like crazy to get open on game days. And even if he's not open, you can throw in the ball along the boundary, especially when you cross midfield, because if he doesn't get it and it is intercepted, the other team's still got a long way to go. But he's great for a young quarterback, and because he's going to be in the right spot and he knows how to make adjustments. And that's important, especially when you're with a young quarterback. And I think that I don't know how long they want to do it, but they need him not only this year but next year as well, because the transition that Will Levis is trying to make to a franchise quarterback he's going to need those quarterbacks next year. A much bigger question to me, watching from afar in his third year, can Treylon Burks do what Nico Collins did in his third year? Nico had flashed his first 2 years, but he'd been nagging injuries off and on. And so last year, we didn't think much about Nico going into camp. He'd made a lot of exciting plays in training camp before. He did it again this year. That year, he stayed healthy for the most part, and he had a great young quarterback that threw the ball. So Hop is not a question other than contract, but I can't wait, and I know y'all are the same way, to see if Burks can take that next step. If he can't, he needs to be gone.
John, you're such a legend to cover the National Football League. We're going to get your advice on this. Coming up at 10:30, Tony Pollard is going to sit with Chase and myself. What's something you want to know, John, that you would ask Tony Pollard?
Historically, guys who blow out their knees have their best year the second year back. And that's because they can be 100% and they can have confidence, but they always say, and this is rare, that a guy comes back and was better the first year. Adrian Peterson's a great example of a guy that was. It's subconsciously that they, and so I would, does he feel like that? He may not even know it. But I'll guarantee you, unless he ends up splitting time with Spears 50-50, he's going to be better this season than he was last season with the Cowboys. And I would be guessing that he'll say that's true. He may not say about his knee, but he's got to have more confidence in his knee now than he did last season when he barely got 1,000 yards. With a 17-game season, odds are he's not going to play every game, but you want the consistency of getting over 1,000 again. So that's what I would want to know from him, the confidence level he has. Being with a new team, you know, there's always an excitement with that. You want to prove yourself to your teammates, your coaches, your fans, and this will be a time for him to do it. And I thought that was a tremendous move, and I'm still surprised the Cowboys let him go. I'm stunned the Cowboys didn't get Derrick Henry, because right now the Cowboys have no running game, which puts even more pressure on Dak Prescott, which is what you do not want, especially when you get to the playoffs.
John McClain is with us. Yeah, the Cowboys decided to bring Zeke Elliott back, which I don't think he has much left in the tank. We've talked to you about T'Vondre Sweat before. We got the roster this morning they handed us. He is listed at 6'4", 366. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, but I look and I see a very, very large man over on the other side of the field. And I know there's been a lot of talk of, okay, he needs to lose a little bit of weight. He needs to work on some footwork and things. To me, this is one of those make-or-break kind of picks for Rand Carthon that I really, really, really hope works, because if it does, seeing what he did at Texas, he can be a problem next to Jeffrey Simmons.
Absolutely, he can be a problem next to Simmons, and Simmons knows how much he can help it. I'll tell you something the Texans do that drives me crazy. They put, when they're drafted, their college weights that they're listed in college, and most colleges lie about how tall they are, and they never change them. And I ask them every year, can you please give us accurate weights? You list Will Anderson Jr., 243. He was that as a sophomore at Alabama. He was 255 at the combine. I asked him last year, he's 260. And my philosophy is, if a guy works his butt off to get stronger or lose weight, people ought to know it. Now, go back and look at the combine and see what he weighed. You know, right there in 360 is what the Longhorns used to list him. And I think it'll take him a year to become a true pro, get his diet under control, be able to eat and work out all the time over at the Titans facility, because you know he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's tired of hearing about his weight. But when you've been able to eat like he has, and he used to make jokes about it in Austin about eating what he wanted, and all of a sudden you got to eat healthy, it's tough for some guys to do that. But over that first year in the NFL, they learn to adjust and what it takes to be a pro. But I know he'll play his tail off against the run. And one reason everybody liked him so much is, for a guy that size to have that kind of quickness he does, he can be disruptive. But you run out of gas. And that's why I think this time next year, we'd probably be talking about sweat, doing a lot of sweating, and ended up in the 340 range. And if he were, he would have been a first-round pick.
John, is it much different when you started? Like, if a guy misses one or two training camp practices, I'm sure back in the day it's like, what's going on? What's happening? Now it's just, you know, they get rest days. It's a formality. It's no big deal. You see it as no big deal these days as it was posed back, you know, 20, 30 years ago when a guy missed a day or two of camp?
The only thing that's big deal today is that they come in and they're not in shape. You want to get on a coach's bad side, that happens more than anybody. And anything you can do is come in and be out of shape because they just hound you about during that break between the end of the mini camp and reporting to training camp. Work out. Don't go home. Like, and they said Albert Haynesworth could go to his grandma's and spend a weekend and gain 20 pounds because it's cooked so well. And that's what they tell those big guys. Don't go see grandma and gain 20 pounds in a weekend. And you don't hear a lot about this happening today. The Oilers used to have a fat man's table in which they had to eat healthy and on diets. And you talk about players in bad moods. You were afraid to walk by them, and their teammates would walk by them with steak and desserts and just make them meaner and ornerier. And you don't see that much anymore. But the best way to find out what a guy is, check out his combine. That's like the Texans list Tank Dell. 5'10", 165. Well, he shrunk 2 inches from the University of Houston to the combine, so he's 5'8". So I list guys what they were at the combine because they're much more accurate.
John McClain joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. John, it's good to talk football as we sit here and watch practice, and I know you'll be out at the Texans practice as well. Thanks so much. We'll talk next week.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, and I hope you guys enjoy camp.
Absolutely. John McClain, HoustonTexans.com, joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. We'll have more from Titans training camp, including Tony Pollard, Titans running back, will join us when practice is over around 10:30 or so. Do that in hour number two of the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.